Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Beasts of burden, 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 beasts of burden.
That's an oxen, that's a donkey. Take a thing and put it on their back and make them carry it to where you were going to go. Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where I try not to cough for an hour.
And I try to come up with 5 sketch ideas. I'm Alistair George William Trombley Birchall.
You're very much on your own, Alistair. I'm Andy, but I will be focusing entirely on the cough part of the equation. The unspoken role that I've been playing in so many of the other episodes. But now I thought it was time to finally come clear.
Well, like the pregnant woman of the relationship, I'm going to carry this podcast by burden. Good. And well, you just
great.
You just great. Failed your own goal.
Yes.
And I want our listeners to know that today's episode is brought to us by our Patreon supporter Mitch Griffiths, who donated at least $3 so that he could get the king's ear and give us 3 words for the final sketch of this podcast.
Griffiths. What a fantastic sound. Griffiths.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I've just gone through every emotion.
And every consonant.
Because, of course, you've got gr, which is anger.
Anger.
You've got if, which is wonder.
And, yeah.
And you've got it.
And fear. Fear in the unknown.
Indeed.
It,
which is...
Well, matter-of-factness.
Indeed. And... which is pretending to be a snake.
The whole spectrum of emotion.
Everything the human frame requires.
I mean...
No, Alistair, you finish your sound.
I mean, this kind of could sound like the kind of thing that I would come up with. And maybe I shouldn't be self-referencing myself. I think it's just since we've interacted with listeners, we've realized how we come across.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, they reflect back to us the we that we reflect into them.
That's right. We are mirrors and they are mirrors, and together we create one of those infinity rooms.
But nothing new.
Nothing new. Seeing is we're reflecting back as mirrors.
Yeah. Every sketch is just basically an elaboration on one of your Twitter handles. You've surely realized by now.
One of my Twitter handles.
Yeah, Twitter handles.
Yeah, great. Well, I mean,
Andy,
our relationship with our listeners is like a house of mirrors with the lights turned off and no one inside.
But we do endeavor to get back to you in 4 to 6 hours.
Yeah. Now, when you said something about the body's frame, it made me think of, you know, we like these messed up architects. And when I say messed up, I mean accomplished.
Yes.
Right? Who find very creative ways to sort of... To hang loads.
Are you thinking the cantilever or perhaps the flying buttress, Alistair?
I'm thinking even beyond that. You know, what about like even one of those spirals, like a spiral? You know, like, you know, what about like the, person who doesn't have a leg, but they have a paddle, you know, like they have a leg paddle you know, the Olympics?
Yes. Right? You're talking, obviously... Your Oscar Pistorii.
Yeah, a guy like that. Obviously, he's the most famous, but he's not the best of them.
No.
No.
Let it be known at the outset that,
we condemn his actions, alleged actions.
No, I don't.
Alleged. Anyway, I was thinking, what if you had an architect who did that kind of stuff, but with humans? He was designing, you know, maybe early on. you know, I guess with sometimes they do it with their own children. You know, there's architects, you know, they make their own house real nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
I know exactly what you mean. They often win an award.
Yeah, often.
Yeah, that's, and you might look at, if you'd bought the house just that they designed just before that, you might look at that and wonder how much they've been holding back on you. You
know, yeah.
Ideas that, for a bathroom layout that they probably came up with while they were working on your house, but then they thought, no, I'll keep this for mine win an award.
Yeah, something like
I think you should be able to sue those people to be allowed to use their bathroom.
That'd be nice. I think if you could sue the architect who has a really nice bathroom after he designed your bathroom.
Yes, yes. To get access to his bathroom.
And to get back, and then he could design a door that allows you to get into the bathroom.
Great.
Or a window, because he's creative.
Is it like a teleportation magic door that takes you, or is it just like a very long tunnel?
I think architects at this point still don't have access to either magic or
award-winning architect.
Well, I know, and I understand that.
It's possible they have access to magic, and they've just been holding out on us until they design their own castle.
Well, some of their designs, like that bird's nest in Beijing, you know, I mean, they're very creative.
I like the way you pronounce the J in Beijing.
Beijing. I think I was playing a character who pronounced the J's, really hard J's in Chinese Chinese words. Which I believe is a Chinese word, Beijing.
Look, Alistair, I don't want to get involved. They're a very popular, powerful country. They're on the rise.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, at this stage of my career, I'd be a fool to...
To take the bait.
To take the bait that you've laid out for me there and weigh in on this very hot, very contentious, is Beijing a Chinese word debate. I wouldn't be at all surprised if this wasn't some kind of a trap.
Andy,
I know a trap.
It's quite interesting that you should say that, because my next question was going to be about your stance on the South China Sea.
You see?
Yeah. And whether you'd go there with me to
protest on
an island. I have a right to swim through here. I have a right to swim through here.
You're engaged in a one-man, individual freedom of navigation exercise where I will swim the South China Sea. It's quite bold because if it does descend into war, it will be the first one on 1.4 billion war to take place ever. Now, they have the advantage of numbers, absolutely.
Sure.
Sure, but I'm not going to deny that.
But that's why I'm not going to fight them using conventional warfare. You see, because to try to fight them, one versus 1.4 bill, right, would be absolute madness.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Right? But what if we took that crazy and inject a little bit of crazy into that?
Well, that's right. If you sort of wacky it up a little bit, you got to act a bit unpredictable.
And I imagine your footwork's going to play a big role in this.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be a lot like Jackie Chan's Drunken Master. Mm-hmm. And I realize that he may be from China.
Yeah.
And
I think he probably is on the other side of this.
Yeah, no, I understand. But I'm not saying I'm going to do Drunken Master stuff.
Great.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
Certainly, I wouldn't announce that publicly if I were.
Well, that's...
They could well be listening and then they'd know.
Yeah. But I'm just... What I am... I'm willing and happy to announce...
Yes.
...is that it's going to be a bit unpredictable, like a drunken kung fu style.
Yeah, and that's, being unpredictable is one of the few things that you can announce in advance.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really give anything away.
Because...
By its very nature,
You won't be able to predict it.
Exactly, exactly.
And it's going to be truly unpredictable.
Mm.
Like I'm going to be having to do some quantum stuff.
Yeah, I suspected that may well be the case.
Yeah, and
you're moving between sort of very low energy states.
No one was going to predict that I was going to do that whilst eating a sandwich.
Quantum, and of course lunch based. Anyway, we've given it away now. You're fucked.
Well,
you're going to have to come up with something else. Is a one-man freedom of navigation exercise in the South China Sea? You know, people are always swimming the English Channel.
Yeah.
Which I believe at the time of the, you know, the Hundred Years' War would have been a very, very sort of bold political statement. And now it's really quite prosaic. Everybody's doing it. But to, you know, to get out there and do, as you say, this exercise could shake things up a little. Good thing is it does give the government plausible deniability, you know. You could even be an agent for our government.
Yeah.
But as long as you're just there, you're nude, so there's nothing they can tie you back to the Australian government.
That would be perfect.
Yeah.
Although they do use a lot of face recognition technology.
Sure.
And
but you have one of those faces.
That's true.
I imagine after you get out of the water, it might be quite sort of bloated.
Well, that's true. Mm. Especially, yeah, I'll probably have to be there out there quite a while before I get intercepted by a boat.
And also, I don't believe that there's necessarily a sort of a clearly defined sort of across sense of the South China Sea.
Yeah.
Not in the same way that there is with the English Channel.
Or like a circle, you know. I could still if I can, I'll try swimming in a straight line.
Yeah.
You know? I do know that there's sort of natural ways in which we just kind of start to curl around a little bit. But, you know, I feel like maybe this is just a good way of the government, if they could at least be spying on me, maybe using satellites, our government.
Yep.
You know, like the Russians tend to do a lot of flybys. You know, they go to Alaska, they'll fly out there, they'll get some U.S. jets to come and intercept them so that they can test reaction times and things like that. And I think this will be, I think I could be valuable to my country.
I think it could also be a really good way to impress girls, you know? Like
both while you're doing it and after.
Well, exactly, you know? a lot of individuals try and, you know, prove themselves physically, you know, a lot of individuals try and prove themselves mentally and, you know, in terms of career and money and all these status symbols. But very few people take a strong individual military stance.
Yeah.
And I think they could really be like, you know, a good defining feature.
Oh, man, absolutely. And I think that if a Chinese ship does pick me up at some point, that if they do allow women in the military, that a lot of the women on that ship,
they could really be quite impressed.
But I want you to know that I'm not using that getting other people impressed to sort of try to like get romantic with them or anything like that. Because I think once you've impressed someone, you're now in a position of power over them. They're essentially at your mercy, especially when they're impressed by an act of such bravery. Braveness.
Sure.
You know, somebody who has so much command over their body, over
the high seas.
Over the high seas. At least one of the elements, water.
Yes, water.
And salt. and I would never, you know, apart, especially because I also am in a loving relationship.
Sure.
But also knowing that I would never take advantage of any of the women or the men. Or, you know, the ship itself.
I suspect that you could, coming out of this, you'd be in such a strong sort of negotiating position.
Yeah.
And you'd probably be respected so much by the Chinese people that you could probably drive some pretty strong trade deals and that sort of thing. Whatever, you know, whatever you want, you could then take that to the negotiating table and then use that in like some sort of, I don't know, if you're buying some stuff off Alibaba or whatever, you might be able to use that to then negotiate down the price of your, you know, 13 cubic meters of acoustic foam or whatever it is that you're buying.
If I could get use this to meet Jack Ma.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think in the end that's kind of why I'm doing it, is I want to meet Jack Ma.
I don't know who that is, but I support you 110%.
Well, he recently said that he's going to be retiring soon from being the CEO and creator of Alibaba.
Really?
Yeah.
He'd have so much money, wouldn't he?
But it would be great to pick up stuff while I'm in China, maybe if I'm not in prison.
Yeah. Like duty-free stuff.
And if I don't disappear, pick up some stuff that I have ordered to save on the postal costs before I hopefully get extradited back.
Alistair, I took, I'm not going to lie, a lot of over-the-counter medication before we started this podcast to try and control this cough.
Yeah.
And it is kicking in, baby.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm feeling a whole lot of lightness around the chest region.
Really?
Yeah, and just sort of a kind of a drive.
Oh, well, that's good. I mean, it could be a repeat of our paint fumes episode.
It could be. We could be riding the fume kazoo all over again.
Well, Andy, we already have one. We're already one sketch down, and we've only been talking for about 35 minutes. So.
What a sketch. Talking for 35 minutes on a single topic.
I mean,
here's another topic.
But I think one guy versus 1.4 billion and, you know, the stand, everything like that.
And I like those odds. And you've got to root for an underdog.
And I think if we made this sketch, I think it would might even, like, not only would the act itself of swimming impress people, but I think even the sketch would probably impress the higher ups in the Chinese dynasty and
right.
You know, and
maybe we could get some of that state-sponsored comedy money.
There's got to be at least a little bit.
I'm very willing to be the official sketch group of the People's
Republic
Party.
Of China.
Yeah, communist, whatever they're called.
I think that they're a great country, and I would absolutely be willing to work for them. And I don't really have a strong position on any
major territorial disputes or anything like that.
And
you had a Taiwanese girlfriend. You're not. You know, not together anymore.
Not,
so you're a free agent in that regard.
I'm now a free agent, and I know a few.
And I was best friends with the Dalai Lama, but he has not been replying to my calls.
Well, I know, but you should have said that you were the one who broke it off.
I broke it off.
Yeah, great. Sorry, you had a sketch idea.
No, I didn't have a sketch idea, but I had. I love a cautionary tale. I was given a book of cautionary tales
when you were young.
When I was young, by my grandfather, and they were quite funny, and I think they're really more precautionary tales, because a cautionary tale would presumably be one just told in the moment, right, to somebody who is currently undergoing, I don't know, being eaten by a lion.
That's
or
true.
Crushed by a lion or.
Oh man, the person who wrote that book. Would feel stupid, unless that's kind of how he intended it to be read.
In the moment. Is it more as a commentary, you know?
As a sort of an alternative to an inner monologue.
Yeah, yeah. And it'd be great if all if commentary was in some way pre-written, which it is indeed in the Big Book of God. BBOG.
I mean, do you think that is that something that's a bit confusing when you listen to an audio book, that it's like... It's like you've got the wrong inner monologue.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Because isn't your, you know, the voice in your head just an audiobook that doesn't have a very good structure?
Not a very good structure at all.
A bit self-indulgent.
Huge blank sections. And
yeah.
Sometimes
it just repeats the lyrics of a song over and over again. Quite abstract in many ways.
I would not like to do audiobooks because I think it'd be fucking hard. Some people do them, like Stephen Fry did the Harry Potter ones, and I think he was doing all different voices and stuff for different characters.
Really?
I could just never remember which voices went with which character, and I imagine that whatever Harry Potter Corporation, they don't have someone to remind you of that kind of thing. They just put him in a room and open the door 18 hours later and hope that he's done it right.
It feels like it must take so long.
So long, but I guess your production costs are minimal.
Yeah, I mean, you got to pay for Stephen Fry.
Sure, yeah.
You know, he doesn't look like he comes cheap.
No?
He looks like he'd be a real grumpy dude, too.
Yeah, I think you've got to make a few, do things very much on his terms.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's lovely. He's a national treasure.
Absolutely.
Would you be a national treasure?
Oh, they'd have to ask me very nicely.
I think there's a lot of pressure as well, though, National Treasure, because anything then that comes up about you, you know, that you've done.
Yeah.
Really, like, there's so much scrutiny that comes with being a National Treasure as well. So, like all treasure, people want to look at it.
Sure. Okay. And so he Like, I mean, he did a lot of his fucking up early on, I think. Mm. You know, I think he was addicted to cocaine for a long time.
Which I think that's probably all a great move as well, I suppose. Then you've got a journey, don't you? You've got something to come back from.
Yeah.
I think if Chopper Reed had stuck around, maybe he could have made it to National Treasure status.
I mean, some people, I think, would consider him already National Treasure. And I think maybe the fact that he died helps him in that, you know, because now he really can't fuck up.
And now he, like Treasure, is in a wooden box.
That's right.
Like much treasure.
And buried, probably.
Yes.
Or burnt.
Could we steal the national treasure of another country?
Yeah, right. Well, there's the interesting thing, because there's a Nick Cage film. Is that called National Treasure?
There is. That is a very interesting thing.
Yeah,
there.
But
good,
I mean, like,
good angle on
this. But could it be that, you know, it's like, it's National Treasure, which is a film I haven't seen, but I assume that they don't go and dig up a person that the country really liked.
Not exactly, no, indeed. Yes, it's more of a pun title on that idea.
But there is also National Treasure, which would be the treasure of the nation.
Yeah, indeed, and that, I think that's what they're actually looking for in the movie, yes.
But unless the man himself that Nick Cage plays...
Yes.
Does the country love him as some kind of national treasure?
I think they probably do once he gets the treasure.
But is there anyone in this country that we love because he has found treasure?
I mean, Paul Keating floated the dollar, which led to a sustained period of growth throughout the 90s and early 2000s. It was his macroeconomic reforms that led to a sort of a long period of growth.
And
we're all benefiting from to this day, much like Treasure.
Like, yeah, I guess that's a pretty good answer.
Yeah, thanks. I read the first page of his biography yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
And does he refer to himself as a national treasure?
Are we talking more garbage than usual today?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's less focused. But look, this is where I was thinking.
Yes, right? Alistair.
So the people who find treasure these days, rather than just being pirates, which is, you know, I don't even know what funding model pirates had. Was it, like, how did they go out there really, like, hoping that they came, like, what was the budget for being a pirate ship?
Absolutely. Okay. I think it would have been very much boom and bust. You know, it's very subsistence. You know, you're living paycheck to paycheck.
How much stuff are you putting on your ship when you decide you go, all right, what are we going for? 3 months?
Yeah.
And we're hoping to cross paths with another boat.
Open ocean.
On the open ocean, and hope that they've got lots of stuff that we can take.
Yeah.
And then maybe we can eat the people on the other boat. You know, maybe we can eat the boat. But, you know,
fingers crossed. I mean, the crossover of things that float and things that are edible is not a lot, but
really?
But if we could just find a way to be able to eat wood.
I mean, look, that would be great. But, I mean, a carrot, does that float? No?
Okay, a carrot may float. But also, things don't have to be able to float, do they, in order to make a boat?
No, as long as they're in the boat.
You make a shell out of them. Right? Because the boat just has to remain hollow. Really all you need is something that doesn't absorb water. But there's very few things, Alistair, that don't absorb water that you can eat. I think water solubility in one form or another is almost a prerequisite of the edibility scale.
Water solubility and porousness.
Exactly.
Well, like a block of cheese, maybe. Maybe a block of cheese that does absorb water eventually.
It feels like it's going to get pretty spongy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A carrot? But a carrot in cold water?
Could be a carrot in cold water. I mean, I think a carrot is probably the closest we're going to get, but then we're talking, how are you structuring this ship? Make it out of carrots. But then
it's
going to rot.
Oh, wait, so you're talking about making a ship out of food?
Isn't that what you were talking about?
No. I was talking about the economics of pirate ships, and then you go out. I was just saying, you know, look, to be honest, that was a throwaway silliness.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if you really wanted to make a boat out of food, I guess you could maybe half a capsicum.
Yep.
Yeah, or red pepper for the American audience.
You're right.
Yeah.
It's almost there.
Or you could just make...
And then wax the exterior. I think, Alistair, you've done it. You've cracked it.
Or instead, you know, instead of making a whole boat, you just have one capsicum in into two.
Yes. Put catamaran.
Put it under your feet.
Yes.
You got water shoes.
It's got to work.
Well, yeah.
As according to my understanding.
Just wear a little skull and crossbones cape. Now you're a pirate ship.
Mm-hmm.
And you've lowered your costs. And now you don't have to wait to encounter another ship.
Yes.
You've yourself made a ship that is edible. And so this is like one of those wallets that only for cards.
By the extent to which you've lowered your costs probably means that you don't need to raid as many ships in order to recoup those costs.
Exactly.
Right? Really, in order to recoup those costs, you only need to raid a ship that's carrying $2 or $3 in capsicum money.
Or just come across $3 floating on top of the water.
Sure.
Or you could probably get a seabird, you know, some kind of seabird, take it back in to your local, you know, your local taxidermist. You could
get that taxidermist.
Get it stuffed.
Really? The riches that are going to pay dividends in the long term are going to be the stories you tell. You know, you get back to shore, you write a memoir.
Yeah, that's true.
6 months at sea, a pair of capsicums.
That's the real treasure.
That's the real treasure. Oh, I'm not well.
No, that's okay.
I'm not well.
So what this is about is...
I'm so sorry, everybody.
It's okay. What this is about is... Andy, we don't have time to linger
we can't
on
start
how sorry
again.
You are.
Yeah, okay, great. We okay, what this is really about, right, is a group of pirates at sea, right, trying to work out what the real treasure is.
But
is it the friendships? Is it the stories? I'd love to see piece-to-camera interviews with pirates sort of talking in quite a heartfelt way about their
sure
what they really gained from their time in the high seas, you know, because I guess it's the friendships that you know, the people that you meet because you go through quite intense experiences. But also imagine a real appreciation for the people at home, you know, and coming home, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely, when you come home to your...
And that's the real treasure.
Yeah, the guy who you steal scabbards off of.
When you say that he's someone that you come home
that
to.
You care about, you know, because I assume a lot of these people are not attached to families and things like that.
It's amazing that you're stealing scabbards.
Yeah, well... You know, a gun shop would be one of the best places to steal from because you get such good stuff that helps you steal more.
That's right. You've got to steal money to... you've got to steal...
You've got to steal guns to make money.
Yes. But you know what a scabbard is, do you? No, you don't.
Like a knife?
It's the thing that goes over a knife.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought there was a type of...
No, the scabbard is what you stick your knife into.
Oh.
It's like a knife cozy.
Is it?
You know?
Is that what
like
the
with a teacup, teapot, right? But not knitted, right? And not to protect you from heat, but to protect you from sharp.
Yeah. What's it made out of, do you say?
Something hard.
Yeah, something hard.
Yeah.
Okay, I just thought a scabbard was like a scimitar?
No, it's not like a scimitar. It's not like a saber.
No, it's not like a saber?
No.
But what's like a big... Like a big wide, like very thick bladed...
Broadsword.
No, not like a broadsword, because that's more like of a medieval sword that is, you know... It's
cutlass.
Still just, that's like a...
You're thinking of a cutlass.
This is kind of, like, am I thinking of a cutlass? I think this the one I'm thinking of cuts.
No, this is the cutlass. The name is a trick so that when you're yelling to somebody on your team, right? You're there, you got your teams, you're fighting on your boat. Right, you're on your team. You got your mate over there. He's also on your team. And you say, "Throw me a cutlass."
Yeah.
Right, the opposing team hearing that will think he's just called for something that doesn't cut,
like a blunt instrument.
A blunt instrument, and so they prepare themselves mentally.
He's probably going to throw him like one of those sticks that blind people use.
Yeah, famously blunt.
And so they all drift off.
Yeah,
you know, take
well,
a mental break.
Exactly. Or they tune out. Just for that crucial second, and then you are with your pointy, cut full.
Cut
really.
Full. It's, yeah.
Cut-tacular.
It's the...
Cut-erific, really.
Yeah, cut-o-matic.
Yeah.
It cuts it automatically. It doesn't even stop cutting.
Well, I'm sure if it was up to it.
Do you think this is like a, there's like a thing that you could make that would be so sharp that you could just drop it from like shoulder height and it would just go right through the earth all the way through to the other side just because it's just that sharp?
Well, I guess that's a neutrino. Do people think of neutrinos as being sharp? Because this could be a, Alistair, this could be a Nobel Prize.
Yeah.
I don't want to say too much, and I don't want to go into the idea too much because I don't want to give anything away.
So with neutrinos, it's not the energy; it's just about how sharp.
They could be real sharp.
Yeah.
We've never seen anything so pointy. Have they looked into that?
It's like hot. It's like make Earth is like hot butter.
Yeah, they're saying
that it's liquid.
They're saying that it's weightless and it doesn't interact with anything.
It's probably just super sharp.
Probably just super sharp, real sharp.
Well, they didn't think about that, that there could be sharp particles.
Exactly.
A lot of them, what they don't realize is that electrons and protons. Mm. Protons is the bluntest of the subatomic particles. Maybe the neutron.
No, you're right. I reckon, oh, yeah, no, the proton. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's blunt, and that's why it seems like it comes, like, you know, doesn't go through things.
Mm.
You know, that's why. But really, that's why, like, when you get gamma radiation.
Yes.
You know, and there's protons going through you.
Uh-huh.
It has a real impact on you. You know, that's like gamma, you know,
so
all the other
sharp
types. Yeah, beta, alpha radiation, those kind of things, you can get that through you all day long. You don't even care.
It just sort of hits you, bounces off, might leave some bruising.
It just goes right through, I'm pretty sure.
Alpha?
Alpha?
No. Like, Alistair,
yeah,
you're talking yourself in circles. You're not making any sense.
No. But then gamma
you're talking
about
comes blunt in. Things. Blunt things don't go through. Sharp things do go through. Gamma goes through. Alpha doesn't go through.
Yeah, no.
Alpha doesn't have good penetrating power.
Oh yeah, but that's just because it's low energy.
And it's blunt.
No. Gamma goes through.
Yes.
But that's just because it's a high energy blunt instrument.
Yes.
Like a spear with no knife on top.
Wait, no, gamma's not blunt.
No,
gamma's
I'm saying
sharp.
Gamma's blunt because it's got protons.
Gamma doesn't have protons. Gamma is a photon.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Oh, God, I would like to apologize to the Nobel. When I'm submitting this for my Nobel thing for speculation, the Nobel Prize for speculation, and obviously this will be my documentary evidence. I'd like to apologise for that part of the riff. Alistair's obviously not included in the application for the Nobel Prize.
Well,
the sharpness.
I'll still help you format the whole document.
Thanks, that'd be great.
But I just won't be involved in any of the content.
Oh, when I get up and give my acceptance speech, it's going to be great. Well, I tell you what, Alistair, if there'd been a Nobel Prize for formatting, you would have got that. And, of course, my wife, if there was a Nobel Prize for being a wife, being supportive.
Endless support. And also,
you'd get that. And obviously the...
Talk about your children.
Oh, my children, if there was a Nobel Prize for being little scamps, obviously they'd get that. And they think Dad's a big old goofball. And
talk about your parents.
If there was a Fields Medal for being there for me and inspiring my curiosity and my love of learning, lifelong love of learning, then they would have got that as well.
Talk about lifelong learning.
If there was a, I'm going to say a Booker Prize, a Man Booker Prize for things that represent the innate curiosity of the child yet harnessed by the thirst for detail of the adult, it would absolutely go to lifelong learning. Yes.
Talk about the child.
If there was a bronze swimming certificate for being the core of innocence and the emblem of the potential that man has at the very outset, and that exists in all of us, and that we should harness and love and nurture and cherish, then I would absolutely give that to the child.
Talk about me!
If there was just one person that I'd like to ask security to remove from the venue, it would absolutely, no questions, sir, be you. Yes.
So, yeah, I don't know if there's anything that sharp.
Mm,
it's a neutrino. I guess probably not gamma radiation.
What about, right?
Yeah.
Someone receiving a Nobel Prize.
Yeah.
Right? But they're just such a bad winner. They're just so bitter and angry about everyone else's, you know, success.
Yeah.
You know, and they you know...
Yeah,
and they criticize everyone else's discoveries.
Oh no!
You know, like going back to, you know, obviously, working at MIT, I had the
oh, not an Australian again.
Yeah, had the privilege of working with the Blackwell team, and yeah, amazing that they were able to do what they did and get a Nobel Prize for discovering. T cells, which let's be honest, were just there the whole time. And is this anything?
Maybe. Like, I mean, he's an unhappy man.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. That's not. It's not much, is it? An unhappy man.
I mean, he's an unhappy, bitter man.
Yeah.
I think. I think. Look, Andy. I think it's the kind of thing that there's maybe a 12 season television program.
Hello.
In it.
Yes. You know,
the unhappy man in academia.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you could absolutely do a Silicon Valley-style thing in academia, I'm sure, couldn't you?
Mm.
Like, with the people and their pettiness and their, like, fighting for funding and different research teams, that sort of thing. It'd be basically exactly Silicon Valley, but without the money.
Well, and maybe we could get... I hear...
And without the zeitgeist, obviously.
When what's his name there? The guy who ran
TJ Miller?
Yeah, maybe I hear TJ Miller's available.
Right,
now.
I've been seeing his name trending a lot recently. There's a lot of heat around that guy.
Yeah, I think he's going to be in Sydney too. That'll be a great opportunity.
Great, maybe we could catch up with him, not talk about recent events, and sign him up to a six season contract.
Speculative, but
yes.
We could just give him some money.
Sure.
Just so that everybody who doesn't know who we're talking about. Anyway, this guy was
a bad dude.
He's a bad dude.
Yeah.
All right, Andy. Jesus Christ. You know, like in books where like people, you know, like these kind of like, they're not utopias, but they're like, they're just other universes where sometimes people ride on like the backs of dinosaurs as a mode of transport.
Yeah.
And then maybe sharks. Do you think that could work with sharks?
Look, Alistair, I think a series of children's books lavishly illustrated called Sharktopia.
Shark taxis? Shark taxi.
I think in which the second... I mean, maybe if you're lucky, the third page of every book, the killings start.
Well, yeah, it's like...
And obviously, lushly rendered, this beautiful photorealistic drawing
Absolutely.
Style.
Absolutely. Yeah, kids. It's like, yeah. Yeah, and what it could be about, and not a very sort of... veiled metaphor, but it could just be about the actual taxi industry. By the way, we saw Jack Druce on the street, and I just wanted to say hi. And Sam Campbell, hey to you guys. Nice to see you before we got to the podcast. So, and then maybe like, you know.
What a great aside.
Yeah, and then so this is, you know, you're just hanging out with this guy. Let's call her Melanie.
Yeah.
There you go. And Melanie, she's been a taxi driver for the last 55 years.
Yes.
She's 67.
Okay.
She started when she was 12.
Okay.
That's when her dad...
It was a different time.
Her dad gave her first shark.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And and she's, you know, she's bitter. She's bitter like a taxi driver gets.
Yeah, but imagine... I mean, the one thing the taxi driver doesn't have to fight against
is odor.
Is the taxi.
Oh, okay.
Standard, this reality, your and my reality that we take for granted, I think I'm beginning to realize. The taxi driver can, at the end of the day, ultimately, I believe, most of the time, trust the taxi not to eat them.
Sure.
It's everyone else that they can't trust. Whereas if you throw into that the possibility that the taxi could get hungry and...
Yeah, and I want to make clear here that one thing that this society, that isn't an amphibious society,
yeah,
right, but the humans can't breathe underwater.
Yeah.
So you have to keep coming up every about 25 seconds.
Yeah, and a lot of times the sharks, they don't want to do
that. They don't want to. That's what you really got to fight.
Because they are wild animals.
Yeah, and the society forbids you to break them. You're not allowed to, like, mentally break
them.
Well,
we respect the spirit.
Because everybody's a vegan.
Spirit of the,
yeah.
It's just an interesting world in which we never domesticated the horse.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right. But we just created a series of creeks that go
yep.
around our society.
Mm-hmm.
And they're creeks because they're only about 4 foot deep.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Deep.
So the shark can't go down too far.
He can't go too far, and that's how...
Which makes him real angry.
Yeah. and also does create a lot of blockages.
Mm.
And then there's a lot of shark-on-shark violence.
This is yeah. insane.
And so, but it's like a sort of Venice kind of scenario.
Yeah.
But instead of...
Menace, I'm going to call it.
Oh, Andy. But it's spelled M-E-N-I-C-E. There you
yeah.
go. And, but instead of like nice kind of, you know, concrete, you know, stone kind of...
It's very swampy, isn't it?
It's, yeah. I think there's a lot of like, just kind of like dirt that's very easy to erode. And then it just goes down,
yeah.
and then the roads kind of start about 2 meters off that.
What a great detail!
Yeah,
but
it's just showing, like, you know, there's a lot of like roads that kind of get washed away.
What
when
do you
a lot
see
as rain.
A production budget for this
eh?
Sketch? This sketch. What do you see? What do you? If you were to ballpark me,
well, Andy, you couldn't put a dollar figure on it.
Great! Because, oh, that's a huge relief.
Yeah, because I would film it in Japan, and so it would be in yen.
In yen.
Yeah.
Right, and then you can't, it's untranslatable.
Yeah, you can't, I think it would be rude to just say it in dollars.
Okay, yeah.
And do you think that would...
Is this a children's book series?
Absolutely, it's a children's book series. Yeah.
Sure.
And because I think there's not enough conflict in kids' books.
Yes.
And so having something... And, like, kids do learn about dying early on. They kind of see it in movies and things like that.
But not on the second page.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you always think, well, they could learn about it earlier.
Now, I like to think personally that the books, while still being, you know, your standard child's book length, or, you know, 16 to 30 pages, are... by the third page, everyone has been dismembered.
Sure.
And the subsequent pages are just photos of floating limbs.
Limbs and sort of organs and things
drawings,
like that.
Drawings, not photos.
Well, that'd, it could be about the
be
guy.
Disturbing.
Maybe the first book in the series could be about the guy who's trying to stop congestion.
Yep.
So in the kind of like in Creekland, Vent Creekus.
Yep.
And so he starts to dig the trenches, you know, like where the creeks are, and they just go 500 meters down. So each one of those is like one of those diving pools.
Yeah, sure.
Right, that goes so far down so that sharks can just go under each other if one
yes.
breaks down or whatever, one loses the will to continue or a driver's just wrestling with it.
Yeah.
You know, just to try to get control
yeah,
back or
yeah.
You know, or it's his fare, or if they're just arguing with their fare.
What I also like about this is that there's no hierarchy.
Mm.
It feels like so much of humanity's control of the natural world has been one of subjugation.
Yeah.
You know, and of controlling the other species and shaping the environment to our advantage.
Mm.
What if we'd still done all the shaping of the environment,
yeah,
but none of it was to our advantage?
Well, I mean, that's quite an interesting question, because then you've just made me realize that actually none of these taxis actually pick up any people.
Okay.
Right? The thing is that both the shark and the person take turns being a taxi. Right? You haven't tamed the shark, but the shark also hasn't tamed you.
Oh, that's a relief.
You see? And
you both retain your natural free will.
Yeah. And the shark takes you where you want to go when it involves going somewhere in water.
Mm-hmm.
And
the shark needs to get somewhere on land,
you take it there.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, and like current taxi rules, it's illegal to refuse a fare.
That's right.
So wherever that shark wants to go, you can't ask any questions.
Well, when you're 12, you're bonded with your shark.
Great.
Right? And so your backs are fused together.
Yep.
Right? And so you're always
Now I'm interested in this world, Alistair. Yeah. There's no taxi arrangement. It's not even necessarily any canals.
But it's still called shark taxi.
It's still called shark taxi. Well, because there's a form of taxidermy in a way there as well, which is a little interesting nod you've got there.
Yeah.
Right. But what it is we discovered that I think this takes place at some point in the future, in which we've discovered that humans had become too powerful.
Oh, that's good.
Had too much control over the environment and were mocking we thought ourselves superior to the natural world.
And that power also led us to help start destroying the environment.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And also people were getting, still when swimming, eaten by sharks. But I actually reckon if you had that shark was glued to your back, you're actually much less likely to be eaten
by that
shark.
Yeah. You're just more likely to be present when the shark is eating something else.
Sure.
Yeah.
But then that's an interesting perspective.
Exactly.
That reminds you how brutal the environment can be.
That's right. And you can't see forward because you're sort of your back is sewn on or fused to its back. So you're kind of just seeing blood float in, and you can tell from the shaking of the body that it's probably
thrashing,
got
the wild thrashing.
That it probably has something in its jaws, and then, you know, and you probably start developing another sense, much like, you know, that shark's electrical sense. Mm. You could sort of, maybe you could even feel it, like in how the shark starts getting excited that it's sensing something, which means that you're starting to sense you know, these things. You know, crabs under sand or whatever.
Yeah, whatever that may be.
You know, and I think anyway, if anybody knows the publisher who did Where Is the Green Sheep?
Where Is the Green Sheep? Yeah, probably Puffin.
Puffin? Yeah. And then when we're ready to do Shark Taxi.
Great. You gonna write that down?
I've already had.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Andy, sorry. That was
I mean, when you're onto something like that, you don't waste any time writing down the words "shark taxi" to describe that particular sketch. Mm. And I think the name really does capture it.
Yeah.
You know. Well, if anything, you'd read the name and be like, "Yeah, I feel like I've seen this."
Well, I mean, it could just be a show like Seinfeld, but it's just set in this world.
Yeah, I mean, and people have said, it's almost a cliche now, Alistair, to say that Seinfeld was the show about nothing.
Yeah.
And you could say the same thing, I think, about this show, Shark Taxi. That Shark Taxi is the show about nothing except for a world in which people are sewn to the backs of sharks.
Yeah.
And then other than that, it's really more about sort of the minutiae of that life.
Well, because I think this is what the statement is of this whole thing is that no matter who you are, no matter what you're like, you know, life is still just life.
Yeah.
You know? It's still...
You know what? I have a feeling that Shark Taxi might be one of the few shows that teaches us not that. I think there's a chance, Alistair, that after watching two or three seasons of Shark Taxi, you know, you'd start to say, you know what, things could be very different.
Yeah.
And some of the choices that we've made and individuals make, like sewing themselves to the backs of sharks, do lead them down very different paths
maybe.
To lives that are almost unrecognizable. to you and me.
I know, but you could use the same set as Seinfeld.
It's definitely true that the sitcom as a form has been done to death. It's boring. And sure. Whatever it is, wherever you choose to set your thing, is it in a police station? Is it in a lawyer's office? Is it in an apartment with friends?
It's very similar.
It's all been done.
Right. But a guy who, when he goes home, he lays down in his bath with the shark underneath him. And he turns on the tap so that it can sleep as well.
Yeah.
Right? But it's got to keep moving.
Yeah, sure. It's a big bath. It's a big
but it just kind of keeps moving a bit. You find that if you move the water, then that works as well. The shark doesn't have to actually move that much.
Do you think you could have a show, right, where it's a quiz show, right?
Okay.
But you just describe. So you describe, say, a physical environment, or you describe a house.
Okay.
Right. You describe the design of the house.
Yep.
And what the contestants have to do is guess what the nature of the universe is that house exists in. So you could, take us through, maybe show us some models of the house. And, one of them is that the bath is a big circular sort of ring with running water in it.
Right? Sure.
And another one is that the...
And then
it's up to the panelists to buzz in when they think they know what the universe is.
Okay.
And the answer, of course, you and I know, is people are so into the backs of sharks.
Let me try this out on you.
Okay, great.
Okay. So it's a big house.
Great.
And the door is huge. It's like 3 meters up and three meters wide, and it's an automatic on the house.
Okay.
Okay. When you go in, and there's a little.
And I guess the more information you give me, by the way, the less points are available. Great. So if I'd already buzzed in now, I could have got 50 points, but are ticking down as you describe
now, as you walk in, you notice that there's like a, just kind of like.
The show, by the way, is called Jesus Christ, What the Fuck is Going On?
Yeah, okay. And so as you go in, instead of just like flat floor, there's kind of a series of grooves in the ground, but it looks like a little, it looks like a little trench, but it kind of like, like a train track kind of trench.
Yeah.
And it goes into the different rooms and it breaks off.
Buzz.
Like this. Yeah.
All right. Is this your universe in which, as we described in a previous podcast, everyone travels around in a wheel that is made of them like clinging to other people?
No, but you're not close, but it feels like you've come one step closer.
Okay.
All right. And then...
I'm still in the game. Or maybe one of the other contestants.
You're still in the game.
I'll be one of the other contestants now who hasn't buzzed
now,
in.
Now, once you go to the bathroom, right? You follow your little groove to there. There's a big round platform that you roll onto, and then there's a big sort of circle with a raised area in the middle of the circle, and there's a tap, a shower. This is underneath the shower head.
Yeah.
And you turn on the shower head, and like a sugar kind of coating, like a pink color comes off.
Okay, people are donuts.
That's exactly what this universe is, where people are donuts.
It's inhabited by donuts.
Yeah. And they roll around.
And they frost themselves.
They frost themselves
when they get home.
To get clean. That's instead of getting clean.
A fresh coat of frosting. Yeah.
So I guess that works.
Yeah, I think that show, Jesus Christ, What the Fuck is Going On Here? Or maybe, Alistair, this could just be a game that takes place in our game, our panel show. Whatever that's called. It's called what? Or it's called panel show?
It's going to be called...
Challenge.
Proper quiz show.
Proper quiz show.
No, I don't know. We'll find a name.
Yeah.
Quiz fuck.
Quiz fuck.
Yeah. Questions with a Z.
That's really good, because that shows that we're a little bit different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zuestions.
Swestions.
I don't know, but it's pronounced question.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, I'm really excited about that that game. And it is it's because that would that is this is what would happen when you arrive in a parallel dimension. You don't know what the nature of the parallel dimension is. It's a very realistic game.
You got to figure it out fast.
Yes.
And you don't know when changing dimensions is going to be a thing that just starts happening.
It could happen at any time.
Because, you know, preppers, these people who are prepping, yes. You know, they're always prepping for the world to getting destroyed. But that's just one scenario, right?
Another one is the walls of reality come tumbling down.
That's right.
We randomly slip between an infinite number of possible worlds.
Possible realities.
Are you prepping for that?
Oh, you're not ready. You don't. All you've
you
got.
You're going to need a few more bottles of water, I reckon, mate.
All you've got is cans and cans of champignons.
Yeah, champignon.
I think the idea of different kinds of preppers.
Yeah.
Is a funny thing.
Yeah, I think absolutely. Well, because also there is the kind of prepper who would prep for just a world in which there's a global shortage of champignon. You know.
Look, that is true.
And what is a collector, right? But a person who is prepping for a world in which anyone gives a fuck about their collection.
That's right.
You know, you've got bottle caps. You've got all the bottle caps.
Mm-hmm.
You're a prepper.
You've got all the signatures of the people who are in a movie.
Yeah, who knows? At any moment, the world could become a place unrecognizable to you and I here today in which people give a shit about this.
In many ways, we're lucky that we have love for things because or else it would be just prepping for...
Yes, tomorrow.
That's right. The hope that we become important in some way.
What about people who prep for just the idea that everyone grows like about a foot and a half taller? Or...
I like that.
Yeah. I've got a whole lot of really extra long pants made.
He carries like sort of paint cans. Like, you know, there's two paint cans that he's removed the lid off of.
Yes.
He's got those lids in his jacket pockets.
Yes.
Right? And he's got the sort of hollowed out cans. He wears them under his pant legs.
Yes.
Like that. So he just looks like he's wearing flares.
Okay.
Like that. And in the back pocket of his pants, he's got some string.
Yes.
Right, and then if once everybody grows a foot, he assembles that puts the lids on the paint cans, puts those strings on top of the
stilts.
Yeah, and he's made little stilts, and he's a foot higher as well.
So he hasn't grown.
No,
this
he's
is
the
a
only
world
one.
In which everyone else gets has a growth spurt.
Yeah,
but he doesn't.
Oh yeah, well, I hadn't thought about what he would do if he also grew.
Well, that's why I want him to just have long pants. You never know.
Oh, that's good too, yeah.
And this is interesting. Oh, why do these religions, they always predict the end of the world?
Mm.
Why don't they just predict some big, you know, some fun changes?
Yeah, or like the beginning of a second world that goes in our orbit.
Mm.
Or, you know, or just like maybe like 3Ks away.
So you could climb up something real tall and squeeze across, jump across.
You know, when I found out about the theory of... This is what they thought of before they knew about tectonic plates, of global expanding.
That the world was becoming bigger.
Yeah, like world expanding. So they thought that the reason why there's like water in between things is because the world is kind of getting bigger and then the gaps between places are just kind of...
And the water, something, you got to fill it with something. Or might as well be water.
Might as well be water. So yeah, and then...
Get some water, fill in the gaps, it's like putty.
And I thought the idea that the world just kept getting bigger, you know, I guess the inside would get sort of less dense over time.
Yes.
You know, and I like that because then there'd be more real estate.
I mean, that'd be great. Great for housing prices.
Great for housing prices and things like that. But then tectonic plates came along.
Oh, well.
Andy, we do have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So yeah. We could do.
I love that you didn't even specify what they are.
Well,
but whatever they are, we have 6
unclear.
Of them.
It's unclear. Andy.
Yes. We have three words from one of our...
From Mitch Griffiths, the person who
every
episode,
emotion.
Yeah, who has every emotion in their word. And
their name.
And they're our Patreon supporter. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Mitch.
Thanks so much, Mitch, for supporting this.
What is a name except for a word that we've decided is ours? Thank you.
I mean, nobody decides really their own name.
But I wish you'd just run with my premise. Andy, we could have had so much fun.
I think that's a great technique, by the way.
Mm. Just to say thank you. I realized I needed a real hard out on that sentence.
Like, you're...
It's an ejectus.
You're never going to be stuck in life. You've got that thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So, Mr. Griffiths's...
So sorry about the cough.
Three words.
Oh. You can't read your own handwriting, can you?
I think it's right. I'm just going to double check.
Can I try and read it?
Oh, yeah. No, okay, great. Uncouth.
Uncouth. Great word.
Badger.
Yep.
Barbecue.
A fantastic combination of words.
Three words that start with B. Nah.
Let's not go there again.
No, but barbecue has two B's in a row.
Now, is it true that they used to use badgers' penis bones as tie clips?
Tie clips.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Or maybe hair clip.
I didn't know that.
I think the badger has a bone in its penis.
Yeah.
Right? That is, I guess, the perfect shape for a tie clip.
I did not know that.
Yeah. It's a real issue, I suppose.
Well, I guess it's an issue if badger? Like a part of your body is very useful to other people.
So useful for keeping your tie down. You don't want that flapping all over the place.
I mean...
I'll tell you what, I'm going to have a root around in that badger's dick and I hope that I find something. You rush back... You're about to head out for the night. You step out the door. It's a bit windy. Right?
Yeah. Oh, no.
And your tie's flapping around. You say, honey, give me a second. I just need to pop back into the house. And you're looking around for something everywhere. You don't know exactly what you're looking for, but you're looking around and you're looking in all those little jars that you normally put odds and ends in a drawer in your kitchen or whatever, or maybe the drawer by the side of the bed.
Maybe a paper clip sort of builds or something
up,
like that.
Exactly like that. And then you spy out the window in the yard next to the conservatory a badger.
But it's like tearing into like some rabbit corpse or something like that. And you go, oh, is that badger getting into my rabbit corpse?
But, and you think, you know what? It's a long shot.
Mm.
And it's always, but it is always the last place you look.
That's right. But then.
Almost by definition.
Yeah. And, but this person, it's almost like there's so many places they haven't looked that it's like a third place.
Yeah, look.
It's basically the first place they look.
But I think they reason by the logic of, as long as I promise myself I don't look anywhere else after that.
Yeah.
And look, let's be honest. After I've looked in a badger's dick, I'm probably not going to be in the mood.
I'm not going
to
be.
Depending on how this goes, I might not be in the mood to keep looking. So there's a real strong chance this will be the last place I look for one reason or another. I mean, it's very possible. That, like, the badger will claw my eyes out once he sees where I'm going. I'll never look anywhere again. This will be the very last place I look in my life. In my life.
Yeah, but it works out for him.
It works out for him.
Yeah.
It works out for him. Because I don't want that tie to flap around when I go out of the house with my wife.
Of course not.
And you know what it's like when you've ducked back into the house to find something?
Yes.
And you know the person is waiting outside and you've got that pressure on you and you're going to try anything. And even if it means skipping a few steps to what you're pretty sure is the last place you would have looked anyway.
Mm.
Right? So why don't I just skip there?
Yeah.
Promise myself I won't look anywhere else afterwards. Look at that badger's dick. And
no.
Lo and behold.
You're so lucky. You feel it. You can feel it through the flesh of the badger's penis. Like as you grab hold, you can feel the gap between the bones, and you go, perfect.
You son of a bitch.
Holy shit. You've,
Todd McKinley, you son of a bitch, you've done it again.
And then for a second, you're convinced that you have some kind of weird magic powers. It is luck. It is entirely luck that you just thought that there was a bone there.
Yeah. But
now,
what is luck?
That's true. You make your own luck.
Exactly.
Now, when you do this, are you reaching straight for the badger's penis? Or are you grabbing this badger by the neck and you're trying to throttle it first and kill it before you sort of rip its dick off and use its dick bone to hold your tie down?
I mean, that's the question, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, because I guess that's when you find out what kind of a person you are.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
There's two types of people, Alistair. Those who throttle the badger first and those who know they don't have time.
Those who just try to rip their dick off and run.
I reckon if you just went straight for the dick, there'd be a period in which the badger was sufficiently confused at the turn of events to maybe not even lash out at you.
Wow, yeah, there's a chance.
You know?
And there's a chance.
And again, we've already established that you're the kind of guy who likes to take chances.
And somebody's waiting.
They're out there in the cold. You've got the car keys, by the way.
Yeah.
So they don't get to go in the car and wait in there.
Not even out of the wind.
Not even out of the wind.
Unlock
the wind we've established, which is quite quite blowy.
Oh no. And yeah. And that's the thing is that I guess it's because at this stage in your life, you don't have the sort of the remote that allows you to just unlock
click,
it.
Click.
You would have had to go and unlock both doors individually, not
what,
even
what
central.
What do you mean
locking.
By this stage of your life? The like, badger dick wrangling
No, but
stage?
I mean like I mean when people were still guessing whether or not.
They don't have the luxury that we have today
yeah,
of the internet where we're able to instantly Google any animal's penises
that
right. might have useful bones in them.
That's right. And so this is, you know, could be set 60 years ago before, you know, the usefulness of badger dicks was common knowledge and cars didn't have central locking.
Those are the two premises of this sketch.
Yeah.
The two central premises, hard to say which is more important.
Mm.
They are pillars.
It'd be great if once you came out with your clip on your tie.
Yeah.
And to the person who's been waiting
out in
the cold. Your perfectly unruffled tie with this dry bone, right? This, I don't know how you've dried it so well. I guess you've shaken it off a little bit.
You shook it off.
Also, like, it feels like the flesh, penis flesh, would just kind of...
Falls away.
Just fall away like a slow roasted... Mm-hmm. Like you know, the lamb on a slow roasted leg.
Pulled pork.
Sure. Pulled
quite
off of
literally.
A bone. Yeah. And then as you get out there, who's waiting for you? Maybe your husband, maybe your wife.
Yes.
Maybe both. Maybe both. One of them realizes they're cold. And maybe...
They say, I'm just going to go get something.
Go get something. And then maybe they go get like...
polar fleece jacket?
Maybe polar fleece jacket. And they come out and then you go to the ball.
Great.
To the ballroom.
Well, that's definitely a sketch, Alistair.
Yeah.
It is. And it's also one of a series of sketches that I feel could be made as almost a series of short videos or something like that. You know, like many sketches indeed could.
Mm.
But you have that classic comedy trope of the drinking cow's milk.
That's
you
right.
Know, who was the first person who...
What was the first person to ever drink cow's milk thinking they were doing?
Mm.
Yeah.
Like that trope, but for other things.
Yeah. That's great.
Those other things that are commonly known... Just like that people drink milk, everyone also commonly knows that badger's dicks are used for tie pins.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just filling in some detail on that fascinating
What was the first person to ever put soles on their shoe thinking?
Another perfect example, Alistair. Yeah. Episode 2 has already written itself.
You know? And you go, oh, I'm just going to impede my walking, the bendiness of my foot by putting this hard rubber on top of it.
On top of it. Sure.
Well, at this point, we didn't know which way was up. We didn't have the conventions of up and down
really?
That we did back, that we do now.
Right. Or on
with
top
shoes.
Of or underneath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but they didn't understand up or down.
Wow.
This is how long ago this happens. And it was set in a, like
But
a,
they had the tops of shoes.
It was set in a cone universe. Where people live inside a cone. On the, like, on the
I'm
walls.
I'm picturing it.
Yeah, and then down the bottom, that's where the king lives.
And when it rains. He's so lucky.
But when it rains.
Yes, where does it rain?
It on the walls.
Oh, yeah.
And then it all goes down
Flows
into the
down
king's
to the
house. And that's why he's the king, because he has all the water.
Yep. He doesn't drown, though.
No, because he can swim. He's got a shark fused to his back.
Oh, Christ.
Thank you, Mitch Griffith. Griffiths?
Let's call this episode the pseudo-ephedrine episode.
Okay. One.
Take us through.
The sketches.
The sketches, Alistair.
Okay. One man freedom of navigation protest.
Great. We right? talked about that for 25 minutes.
Yeah. And then, but that was also, within that, there's also one man versus 1.4 billion.
I just think a general one-person show of strength against another nation to win their respect.
To win their respect, yeah. And then not take advantage of the power that respect gives
which
them.
Which is the greatest restraint.
Which is the greatest show of power.
Mm.
Which would get you more respect. And
yeah,
then
more power.
And then
you could really fuck them up.
Then you'd really be vulnerable to sleeping with somebody, like, just because of... Because of they love
your
you
position.
So much, because of your
yeah.
position.
Yeah, but then you really don't.
But then
don't
you don't, and then you get more respect.
This is
but only
thing.
From that single person, because not everybody's watching your every move.
No, and you can't really go on nationwide television and say, "I could have slept with this person, but I didn't."
But I didn't, because that would lower your respect.
Exactly, it's undignified. It's unbecoming.
That's right. And but
of
but,
a man in your position.
Did you have anything else to say about that?
No, I feel like we covered it.
Great. Then we've got, okay. Now, I wrote this down as two sketches.
Oh, thank God.
Okay. So there's the, what's the real treasure piece to camera sketch with
yes.
pirates?
Thanks for writing that down. It didn't feel particularly
No,
strong,
no, no. But like, it's just pirates and they're rugged.
Yeah.
And they're mutilated.
Mm. Mm.
And... You know, some of them are very diseased from time at sea.
Yes.
Right? But they're talking about what the real treasure is.
Yeah, which is lovely.
Yeah. Then we have the other sketch, which is...
And maybe they're gathered around as they're digging the hole in the coral atoll to bury their treasure in.
Or,
and they,
or
and
get
they're
treasure
saying
out.
To each other, you're saying, you know, because there's one treasure that we can't bury.
Which is this time together.
Yeah.
This great fun that we're having, working towards a single aim together.
Yes, yes. And the fact that we all did this, we all came along the way, you know.
And it seemed crazy. It seemed crazy to get on a boat with no real mission other than to capture and destroy other ships and take their value.
And, you know, I don't need to tattoo a map onto my body to show me where that real treasure is because I know where it is and it's right here.
It's right here.
And he points to his heart.
Yeah, well, that's a good place, yeah. Because
yeah.
I've got a tattoo of it right there on my heart.
There's a big X on his heart. I had a tattoo. I had a tattoo to show me where the real treasure is made X. And there's a big X on his heart.
Yeah.
That's nice. They're so sensitive.
They're really loving, man.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't
Or
expect
maybe
it.
It's just one of the crew. Who is like that? It's constantly insisting that that's the real treasure.
That's quite nice. I think he would make a great character. Mm. Maybe he could be... I was going to try and find a something beard.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a beard as well. I was there.
No
beard.
Nice beard.
Yeah. Correct. The loveliest pirate.
Nice beard. Then there's the other pirate sketch, which is the pirate economics sketch, where, you know, it's sort of two crews talking. One is, you know, they're talking about what they're going to do. You know, they're really hoping to, you know, it's a big boat. They're really hoping to encounter something soon in the next 3 months because that's all they got resources for. And then next to them is just a guy who's sort of, you know, using sort of capsicums under his feet. And he says, "Well, if I go out, when I'm going to go out, I'm going to be out there. I could go 500 meters, and I'll probably find something to make my money back."
This is the most insane sketch idea we've ever come up with.
You know, but like, you know, and the thing is that I could walk across to that jetty over there and just steal one of their boats, and already I've made more money. I've quadrupled the value of these capsicums.
There's got to be a pun about the sunk cost fallacy in there somewhere, Alistair.
Oh, absolutely.
Maybe he a pirate has they named the ship the sunk cost fallacy.
I think that's going to be great, and I look forward to seeing all the behavioral psychologists laugh at that.
They'll really chortle.
They're going to chortle. They're going to guffaw.
Oh.
Yeah. I hope.
Mm.
I don't know, though, but they're quite a serious type of people.
I gather as much, yeah.
Then we have Shark Taxi.
Yes, Shark Taxi.
Shark Taxi with the kids' book, but then also later on a Seinfeld-type sitcom. I mean, you know, it's because once your childhood audience has grown up,
they're ready to see that kind of thing. Like, it seems to happen so often these days.
Mm.
You know, yeah. I'd be hard-pressed to name a children's book from my youth that isn't now a popular sitcom.
Yeah.
On four nights a week on a major channel.
Then we got Jesus Christ, What the Fuck is Going On quiz show.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly it's about the, I describe a house and you tell me what universe this is set in. Then we've got preppers for when different, you know, for different things like you know, sort of automatic parallel universe shifting.
Yep. That's probably at the extreme end.
Yeah, that's the extreme end. But then there's also the idea of like people who are prepping for like Pepsi Max getting taken off the shelves.
Yeah. So, I don't know in what way they prep. Maybe they don't even really like Pepsi Max. It's not going to affect me in a huge way. I bought two cans.
Just in case in the future. I have
a friend around who really likes it, and yeah. I'll be able to give them some. Because I'm pretty sure there is a TV show called Extreme Preppers.
Yeah.
So this is Unextreme Preppers, is the guy who's just got two cans of Pepsi Max.
Well, he's still just prepping. In case. He's still, I mean...
Because you never know.
You never know what scenario is going to come up.
Also, I have a stash of guns in case I have to shoot the government. That and the two cans of Pepsi Max.
But then there's also the chance that what if, like, the Pepsi Corporation comes after us? Instead of the government turning on us, there's a chance, like, Coca-Cola Amatil could turn on us.
If they could... If they did, and they just put some poison in the Coke.
Yeah, or...
I mean...
What if all their can distributions have, like, a bomb within them that they just decide to set off?
And they blow them all up.
Mm-hmm.
Be terrible.
Well, we wouldn't have expected it, but we let them put their machines
right in our homes.
In our most important... Mm-hmm. In our most important buildings and homes.
If I were to come to you today and say, allow me to put a large metal box in the hallways of power.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be full of tempting-looking treats.
Yeah, everybody would shake their heads at me and...
Call me crazy. I'm going to have a man come by and restock it occasionally.
Yeah.
He'll be wearing a blue shirt.
But?
You'd call me insane.
I would. Blue shirt. And then we got Badger Dick Clip.
Badger Dick Clip. Badger Dick. Badger Dick Clip. Badger Dick. Badger Dick Clip. I got a badger dick and I got a dick clip. Got a clip for my badger dick. Dick on my clip.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? I was just imagining the flip reversal of the...
A badger kills a human to get their tie.
To get their tie, to tie up his dick.
I guess he could get... If he
which
was,
is flapping around in the wind.
The thing is, if the badger's dick is erect, it probably would just hold its tie in place.
Great.
Up against its belly.
Yep.
Anyway, thank you guys for listening. I don't know what that episode was.
Oh, man. You know, we laughed.
Yeah.
We talked.
We talked, and you guys are the most important people in our lives
and
after
the fact that we do
families.
This to you is, you know.
Yeah. It's
interesting.
Is this an abusive relationship?
I hope not.
If it is, tell us on by reviewing us on iTunes.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Or, you know, you can give
still
us...
give us 5 stars because I think that's the main thing. But then in the body of the of the review, you really go to town.
Code it in some way, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe try not to use the word abuse. you can also find us on Twitter at 2inTank.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at AlistairTV.
I'm at StupidOldAndy.
And you can...
I've fired up our old email account. If you want to email us about anything at all, tointhethinktank@gmail.com.
Great.
And I'll reply to your emails.
Well,
this is an exciting new development.
This is really exciting.
And Alistair, how are we going with those t-shirts?
Oh, very close. We now have the high resolution files.
Yes. They're in the wrong format, though.
They're in the wrong format that this t-shirt website doesn't accept.
Okay, so that's the bit that I've done so far.
Yeah.
What have you done?
Well, I just got to get onto a computer.
Oh, you discovered that they were in the wrong format.
Well, I tried, didn't I?
Yeah, you absolutely did.
All right.
They're in the wrong format, which at the moment is digital, and we want to get them into the format of
t-shirts.
We're just looking for some kind of converter that can...
Convert it into t-shirt.
Yeah. From TIFF to t-shirt.
TIFF shirt.
TIFF shirt. At the moment, they're TIFF shirts.
Yeah.
And we love you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.